Bethlehem Ephrathah. You are the small among the clans of Judah. Out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. And our New Testament scripture comes from Matthew. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall. But after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him.
Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for songs old and new. We thank you for the creed. We thank you for the reminder from the gospel of how much you love us and how much you desire to be a father to us, and also the reminder of how often we run from you. Lord, remind us of your forgiveness. Remind us of your love this morning. We ask your blessing upon this time as we hear from the psalmist of old. Challenge us, convict us, move us by your Holy Spirit's working in our lives this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we'll continue in the Psalms this morning, and this week we get to Psalm 47, which makes sense since last week we did Psalm 46, and if I teach math here, I should know that 47 comes after 46, so this makes a lot of sense. Psalm 47 is another song from the Sons of Korah. And the Sons of Korah, as you remember, were like a group of psalm singers. They wrote songs. They worked at the temple all the way back to the time of Moses. The Sons of Korah were a group of priests. And so they continue working for God at the temple. And they also write music and write lyrics to music. And so this morning, as we come to Psalm 47, we hear another of their songs this morning. Before we get to the psalm, I have just a quick question to ask you guys and a quick story to tell. For you guys, maybe some of you guys, you're already past this point and this doesn't make any sense to you and you never were this immature or silly anyway. So I'm not talking to those of you who have no imagination. But for those of you who have imagination, have you ever imagined yourself to be someone that you're not? Have you ever played make-believe is what I'm getting at here. For those of you who, yes, at some point either have or still do play make-believe, what are the things or people that you imagined yourself to be when you played make-believe? Yeah, Connor. Superman. All right, that's a good make-believe. Chi-Chi. Superwoman. All right, we got some super folks. Yes.
A wolf.
A wolf. Oh, good. And let's see, one more. Mr. Jacobs. Batman. All right, good. I like Mr. Jacobs' answer the most. Well, my parents weren't huge into like Halloween, but I remember one year my parents got me a full-on Halloween costume, and that was very rare for my parents and for where we grew up. But I remember that year, it was after the movie Zorro came out, and most of you all have no idea. I could make this all up and you wouldn't know if it was true or not, but there was in fact a movie and an old TV show called Zorro. And Zorro was about a man, a Spanish, a Mexican man, who had great wealth, and his name was Don Diego. And I remember his name because I loved Zorro so much that when I got into high school and into middle school Spanish, my Spanish name that I took was Don Diego. And I remember my Spanish teachers, when they would call on me, they would call me Don Diego. And so I still remember that that was his name, and kind of just like Batman or Superman, that was his normal everyday identity. But then when trouble would strike, Don Diego would put on the mask, and he would put on a hat, and he would dress all in black, and he had a sword and a whip, and he would go out and he would fight crime, and he would stop people who were doing bad things to the poor and things like this. And I loved the story of Zorro. I thought it was so cool. And then once he had, you know, foiled the evildoers, he would take his sword, which is a rapier, and he would slash a Z, because Zorro was here. And so the song was Zorro, 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 the man who marks the Z. And I remember singing that, and I still know that song. And my parents let me be Zorro that year. And so, of course, I had my little sword. I don't think they let me have a whip, but I did have a sword, and I got to trick-or-treat as Zorro. I loved it. And the next year, like I said, my parents were really big on Halloween, but of course I needed a new costume, but my parents didn't get me a new costume. And so I took my old Zorro outfit, and I kept the cape and I kept the all black. And I thought, well, what could I be with all this Zorro gear that I have? And so I became Luke Skywalker from Return of the Jedi, right? Because that's a full-on black outfit with a cape, and it wasn't a proper Jedi cape. And now I'm losing you in the details. But anyway, the whole thing was that I liked dressing up as these men or as these superheroes types of folks who did great things. Probably none of you, when you played make-believe, did you ever dress up as someone who was weak and frail and could be knocked down by anybody or anything? You know, when people play make-believe, they make believe they're lions or wolves or bears. Probably none of you make believe that you're like a mouse. Or, man, if I could just be an ant, that would be awesome. I would love to be this little, puny, weak type of creature. That's really what I want to be. Or indeed, when I dress up, you know, I don't want to be Batman or Superman or Zorro or Luke Skywalker. I want to be the, innkeeper. Probably not. Generally speaking, we would like to imagine ourselves very powerful, very strong, very significant, not weak, puny, helpless, and pretty inconsequential to the story. This morning, as we come to Psalm 47, we have to recognize a central reality, a central truth to how the world works. A very important central truth. And here it is. That God is the strongest, most important, central character in the story. And you are not. And that if you ever believe that you are playing quite the game of make-believe with yourself. God is king, and you are not. God rules, and you do not. Listen to these words from Psalm 47. For the director of music of the sons of Korah, a psalm. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. How awesome is the Lord Most High. The great King over all the earth. He subdued nations under us, peoples under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loved. God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of the God of Abraham. For the King of the earth, the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. This morning, our New Testament reading and the Nicene Creed remind us of something very important. There is a character who shows up in the Nicene Creed that is a strange, strange character to appear in the Creed. I don't know if you've ever had this thought before, but you realize that there are only two mortal, so to speak, humans who show up in the creed. There are only two of them. The creeds, generally speaking, focus on three characters. Who is the first person or the first character in the creed? Sam? What? In the creed? No. I believe in, how does it say? I believe in, Isaac? God the Father, maker of heaven and of earth. And the next conjunction after that and, we've got, and I believe in, who's the second person focused on in the creed? Yeah, God the Son, right? Jesus. And then you have a third main character of the creed. And we believe in the? That's right, God the Holy Spirit. And so the creed, in a sense, is the story, or it is a fact of stories about who God is and what God has done. And so we hear in the creed of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But there are two mortals, two non-God characters who show up in the creed. Can anyone tell me who they are or who one of them is? No? Two humans who show up in the creed. Think about it. Think about it. Daniel? Pontius Pilate is one, and who's the second? Mary. Mary and Pontius Pilate are the only two mortals who show up in the creed. And that's also true if you go back to the Apostles' Creed. It is about who God is and what God has done. And one of those two especially should stand out to you. Mary makes a lot of sense, right? Jesus became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made flesh. That makes sense. Mary is Jesus' mother, and she is a very special human being. She is extremely important to the story. But it's always struck me, or since I've noticed this, it's always struck me, what is Pontius Pilate doing in the creed? Is he really that important of a character? Pontius Pilate? Some Roman governor at some little old podunk outpost in Judea? The Romans, generally speaking, didn't even really care a ton about Israel. It's not like it was their most important possession. They were much more proud about other possessions that they acquired. And yet here we are 2,000 years later, and we all every week hear about Pontius Pilate. You guys probably don't even every week hear about Julius Caesar, who in many senses was much more important than Pontius Pilate. You don't every week hear about Alexander the Great, though he was probably much more important in many ways than Pontius Pilate. But the person we hear about every week in the creed, every week, is Pontius Pilate. And that's interesting. And if I could use Pontius Pilate as a jumping off point, he is an extremely important character to the way that we work as humans. You guys know the crucifixion story, I'm pretty sure, and you know about the trials. And you know about how Jesus was taken to one governor and pseudo-king after another, right? Jesus comes and he has a trial under Herod. Herod, governor, king, kind of an interesting role that he has. And Herod says, well, it's actually not my jurisdiction. I'm not allowed to pass death penalties. You have to go to the Romans to pass death penalties. And he sends him over to Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate, as the governor, then talks to him. Pontius Pilate sends him back to Herod and says, well, Herod, it's not really my job to kind of figure this out. And eventually Jesus ends back with Pontius Pilate, where Pontius Pilate passes a judgment on him. And here is what Jesus is crucified for. You heard it. What was the charge that Jesus was killed for that went up above his head? What was the charge that Jesus was found guilty of? And this is extremely important for our song. Jesus was killed under Roman law for claiming what, Isabel? That's right. Jesus claimed to be king. And let me guys tell you something about the way the Romans work. The Romans think there is a guy named Caesar, and Caesar is king. You ask any Roman, any good Roman will tell you, Caesar is king. And so the idea that you would even say, I'm king, lets the Romans kill you. If you say I'm king, that is such a threat to who Caesar is that he and his governors underneath him kill you. Because Caesar is the king. Caesar is the king. There is no other. Caesar is king. Listen again to Psalm 47 as it tells the story of kings. Listen. Verse 7. For God is the king of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of the God of Abraham. For the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. Psalm 47 and the crucifixion story tell two different sides of the same story. And here it is. Ready? You and I and everybody else on this planet, we like to make believe and pretend that we are the kings of the world. I like to pretend like I am very powerful. I like to pretend that I'm very wise and that I know a lot of things. I like to pretend that I'm in control, right? I can fix it. Remember last week, right? When something goes wrong, we think, I can fix this. I can do it. But Psalm 46 and Psalm 47 work perfectly together with a very simple, basic, but essential logic, which is this. You can't fix it because you're not in charge. You can't fix it because you're not the king. If something goes wrong in the kingdom, it's the king's job to fix it. And you and I, and every other human being, we like to imagine that we're in control. We like to imagine that we can make things right. Let me give you an example. Yesterday, when I came home, there was a scuffle over a chair. If you have younger siblings or you are a younger sibling, maybe you remember such things. But we were listening to music, and the scuffle was over who got the chair closest to the music. There was nothing to see, but you just needed the chair closest to the music so that you could best hear the music or whatever it was. And so Levi was sitting on the chair. He was sitting up on his throne. And Avery decided that she also wanted to sit on the chair. Levi promptly pushed her right back off of the chair. And at which point, Avery reared back and pushed him back off of the chair. And at this point, I stepped in and I said, whoa, 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 guys, what is going on? What is happening? And then the king started squabbling to me, the higher king, right? Well, I was on the chair, and then she wanted to get up, and so I pushed her down. And then, of course, the other story was, well, I just wanted to be up on the chair, and he pushed me down, so I pushed him back down, and the king started squabbling among each other. And you guys all do that all the time. I guarantee it. It doesn't matter what grade you are, you have your little petty, small, micro king squabbles with each other. Well, that's not right, because and you start going back and forth. And you have all these little petty king squabbles. That doesn't happen once you become an adult, by the way. Never do adults have petty king squabbles. No, that is absolutely false. We all have petty king squabbles because we all forget that I am not the king. And so if we would remember this, we would not have petty king squabbles. Because since I'm not the king, here's my job. Ready? My job is to listen to the king if I'm not the king. Your job is to listen to the king, not be the king. Your job is to trust the king, not be the king. Your job is to be a faithful servant and steward, not be the king. I want to read the last verse of this psalm, the last line, and then I want to go back to the beginning of it. Because this song is not a sad song. This is not a song, if you heard it on the radio, they'd be like, oh, God's the king, I am not. Like a blues song. It's not that kind of song. It's not, it's the opposite.
So I want to read the last line of the song, and then I'm going to go back to the beginning of the song. Listen to the last song. The kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. Even those who call themselves kings are not the king on the throne. Even those like Pontius Pilate, who are given titles, governor, king, ruler, president, governor, senator, they are not the ruler. And guys, the only way to be joyful in the things that God has given us is to recognize that you are not the king. They belong to God. The nobles of the nations assemble around God's throne. And once they're there, I'm going to go back to the beginning of the song. Listen, this is what it sounds like. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. Clap your hands, all you nations. It's a happy song. Guys, when you recognize that you are not in control, not only is it not a blues song, not only is it not a song in minor chords, in dissonance, and in destruction, and in sadness, but it is the exact opposite. Listen to how many times the word praise and sing is used. Listen, he chose our inheritance. God has ascended amid shouts of joy. The Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises, sing praises, sing praises, sing praises. Sing to him a psalm of praise. It is a happy song to sing when you say, I am not in control. I am not in control. God is in control. And so my job is not to rule, but my job is to be a joyful servant of the King who loves me and rules over me. I'm so glad Mr. Bloom chose the parable of the prodigal son today, because the way that story ends, the very last bit of it, is that when the son comes back to the father and he says, Father, I'm so unworthy. I will be your slave. I will be your servant. And the son's so ready for his dad to treat him like a lowly, worthless slave. The father throws him a party. He throws him a party. And that's the truth of Psalm 47. That if you'll just knock it off, trying to be king or queen or prince or princess of your own tiny, you-sized kingdom, you will really be able to party and sing joyful songs. Because heavy is the head of the one who wears the crown. But thanks be to God that you and I and none of us are the one who wears the crown. But rather, God in heaven is king. And he is a great king. Let's pray. Lord, you are Lord, you are King. Forgive us for not recognizing it. Forgive us for crucifying you and making fun of your kingship. Forgive us for all those little times and big times when we try to be king, when we try to rule our lives. We know that you do forgive us. Help us to submit joyfully to you so that we might truly enjoy real life and real joy. We ask your blessings on us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and sing the doxology.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise